Good afternoon. You are listening to KGNU Metro, and I'm your host, Shakita Yarbrough, first Monday of every month with my show, Victorious Single Parent. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. I will like to mention that Martin Luther King's celebration is coming up on the 19th. The weekend there will be many celebrations, so I just wanted to remind everyone to look online, City of Longmont, City of Boulder, City of Lafayette have celebrations going on for the MLK that's coming up. The Black Rodeo will be also coming up. So let's start the new year off with celebrations and also good health. So speaking of good health, today, this afternoon, I have my guest, Mary Kay Irving from the Boulder Center for Health and Nutrition. Good afternoon, Mary Kay.
Good afternoon, Shakita. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about your organization.
I started in the year 2015, and I opened this. It's basically an integrative health and wellness practice where I provide both nutrition, education, advocacy, and counseling, as well as EMDR psychotherapy services.
Was that your primary field after school, for school you were studying in?
I went to school for psychology and became a psychotherapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker for the past 20 years or so. And then I developed some of my own physical health problems and started to study and look into nutrition further, and was completely amazed at the changes in my own mental health, a significant decrease in depression and anxiety and an increase in energy and functioning by changing my diet. And that is not something that we go into in depth in psychology study. So I became passionate about helping to integrate the two fields and bring as much nutrition education as possible to the people that I work with.
I think that is a great idea because mental health is so important, just as important as physical health.
Absolutely. And what we're learning is that mental health, far from being this kind of elusive, misunderstood, oh, it's just something happening in the brain, we're realizing it actually is a physical condition. It's physical conditions that are creating these imbalances in mental health and functioning.
So give me an example or a few examples of physical health that's causing these issues.
Inflammation. We're discovering inflammation is a key underlying part of all physical illnesses and conditions, arthritics conditions, heart disease. And so we're discovering that depression is also related to inflammation in the brain. It's also, we're discovering both anxiety and depression are related to neurotransmitters such as serotonin, the feel-good hormones and things that are in our body. And we're discovering that there's a great connection between gut health, our intestinal functioning, and the microbiome, all of these probiotic bacteria, these viruses and bacteria that actually live inside of us in a symbiotic relationship. We've evolved together and they actually help produce our these neurotransmitters like serotonin. So if our gut health is out of imbalance because of the types of foods that we're eating, then we're not producing these neurotransmitters that help our brain to function optimally.
That is why there is so much information out about our gut now. Huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Because of all this new research.
Yes.
I mean, you read about it and you're like, okay, more study, more stuff, more things. You know, how long will this last before they say, oh, no, it's not your gut. It's
right.
Like, oh, don't eat an egg a day. It causes cancer. Mm-hmm. Don't eat bananas because it causes cancer. Mm-hmm. And then it come back, oh, you need to eat at least an egg a day because
right.
It helps cure cancer,
right.
Prevent cancer.
Right.
So as a citizen, it's kind of, it's
confusing. Very,
it's very confusing
time, yes.
Yeah. But that's very interesting, and it does make sense, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the more we discover. It's really, you know, the science and study of nutrition is fairly early. It's in its infancy. And so there's an explosion of information. And healthcare practices, I believe, are going to be changing quite significantly because of all of this new information that's coming out. So that's a good thing, except that it's slow for the conventional medical community to catch up. Usually things don't actually get to the doctor and to the, you know, the New York Times articles until 17 years after the information has been discovered. So we've known that cholesterol and eating eggs is not a bad thing for a while now, but it doesn't get to the doctor's offices quite quickly enough. Doctors don't actually, medical doctors in our culture at least, do not get training in medical school. So you need to find specialty people like nutritionists or naturopathic doctors or other folks that don't really fit into our conventional medical system. So there's so it's a complicated issue. It's not just that we're one day we hear an article that coconut oil is bad for you or eggs are bad for you, and the next week you read another one that says it's great for you. That's why there's so much confusion, because all of the information hasn't caught up and it's not integrated. It's kind of piecemeal that we get this. We're very specialized country. You know, you go to a tire shop to get your tires fixed, and an oil change shop for others, and it's kind of, healthcare is kind of similar, but we really function together as an integrative system.
So when you said that there will be changes, what type of changes?
Well, I think that we'll see more information coming out specifically about gut health. So right now, people have heard a little bit about how probiotics can be helpful. And so you go to the store and you buy a certain kind of yogurt, or they have specialty drinks now because people think they should be taking more probiotics. But with the advancement of science, we're going to discover there are certain types of bacteria and probiotics that will help with certain conditions. Mm. Everybody's gut health is different. Mm-hmm. Based on what kind of food you ate growing up, whether you were breastfed or bottle fed, whether you grew up with pets in your family, whether you worked in a garden or lived on a farm growing up, we develop different gut microbiomes, and depending on what part of the world you're from, we develop different gut microbiomes. And so people might be taking probiotics thinking it's helpful for them, but it actually might be the wrong kind of probiotic. We're learning more specifically which bacteria support which health conditions.
I know this may be bad, but that sounds like more money.
Ooh, yeah, that's a more money into the science and the study to discover these things. And so I think, again, it's such a bigger issue. There's kind of the issue of pharmaceutical companies and how our culture goes about doing research. And a lot of the money in the science is dictated by a particular pharmaceutical company offering money to develop something versus people learning that just gardening in the dirt and eating directly from your garden is what's going to help you. That's not going to make money. We have a capitalist society, and so people are trying to make profit. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always mesh well with the science and what we're discovering is the best way to eat, which is whole natural foods, the way that our grandparents ate, and the foods that developed and cooked the way we used to in the past. And so now we live in this fast-paced culture, really busy, and we're not taking the time to really prepare our foods. And so it's kind of a really big issue in multiple layers. And that whole public policy and research advocacy is fascinating, and I feel passionate about it, but that's not, it's too big of an issue for me or for any one person, I think, to figure out at this point. There are people trying to figure it out and work on it. I'm trying to stick to just the simple basics of what people can do day to day in their nutritional world to help their health get better.
Let's talk about day to day. What are some of the things that we can be doing day to day to help our gut, mm-hmm. Prevent mental health issues, mm-hmm. prevent inflammation? Some of us have been raised a certain way in eating bad foods and mm-hmm. may not be obese, may not be overweight, mm-hmm. and can be one of the unhealthiest person you may see on the street and not know it.
Absolutely.
And then you have the opposite, where some people are overweight, mm-hmm. eat healthy, and hard to get the weight off. Mm-hmm. So what does your center, what does your organization do for people? What can we do from day to day? What do you offer?
Well, one of the things I offer that I'm excited about right now, I'm doing an online sugar detox, 21-day detox with 4 days of preparation. So that's one thing we can do in our day-to-day lives is be prepared. So take at least 1 day on your week, a weekend, maybe just the morning, to do what we call a big cook and get your food prepared for the week so that when you have a busy day, when you don't have a lot of time, you already have good, healthy food prepared in containers that you can just carry with you to the office or to work so that you have that nutritious, healthy food available and aren't tempted by the bagels or the pizza that your colleagues bring into the work office, or that you're not tempted to dip into the candy bowl because your blood sugar has crashed and is too low. Really, what we can do to keep inflammation at bay is to balance our blood sugar is one of the most important things that you can do. And I'm really excited about this new online program that I'm offering because that does save people time. You don't have to come into the office to meet with me. We're doing it online in a supportive group of women to help one another through the hard spots.
And so that's a program that you're offering, and I also signed up for it. So are there any other programs that you offer?
Not at this time online. I do offer individual consultations, assessments to help get a baseline. Is somebody getting enough nutrition? Oftentimes, one of the most common things I discover about people who are struggling with low energy and their health, or even trying to lose weight, oftentimes people are actually under-eating. People think that they're eating too much, but they're not getting enough of the right nutrient-dense foods that we can get from eating protein, the right kinds of protein frequently enough. And part of that is because the message has been distorted over the last many years that vilifying animal-based proteins. And so people are afraid to eat red meat, or they're afraid to eat eggs, and they're not getting enough of that. And they're also trying to save the world as well by eating less meats. But it's important for our health to get the appropriate amount of proteins, which break down to amino acids. And amino acids are the base unit of those neurotransmitters that we were talking about for mental health. So if you don't have enough and the right kind of protein, your neurotransmitters aren't being produced. And so we, again, struggle with low moods, anxiety, depression.
You are listening to KGNU Metro. I'm your host every first Monday of each month, Shakita Yarbrough, with my show, Victorious Single Parent. And today we have Mary Kay Irving from the Boulder Center for Health and Nutrition. And we are talking about health, food, gut, neurotransmitters, everything that we should be listening to and talking about, but everything that we've heard before. And it's a little confusing when you've been told, or you've read, or, you know, you see on television, social media, the opposite of something you were told 5 years ago, and you're like, I've been doing it this way for, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing. So it's confusing because I believe there are more people who are trying to be healthy.
Absolutely.
Than people who are not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what are some of the first steps we should start doing if, like for me, the whole purpose of this show is for single parents.
Mm-hmm.
We barely have time to do anything for ourselves. We try to get home, cook for the kids to make sure they have a meal. And if not, the horrible thing to do, well, it's not really horrible, but if you don't have the time, you pick up something, try to pick up something healthy, but it doesn't work out like that. So what are some of the steps that single parents can do and our regular, you know, everyone else? So what is just some simple steps we can start doing to better health in 2019?
Well, one of the things that I think of just right off the top of my head are being in community, more eating in community. So organizing potlucks, hosting potlucks. In my sugar detox, there are some parents, single parents, that are just spontaneously saying, come on, bring the kids over, bring your kids over, and we'll do a meal together, a sugar-free, healthy meal together. Making projects with the kids, I mean, a part of our busy life is we want to have downtime, fun time, relaxing, creation time with our kids. And really teaching kids that food can be fun and making food can be fun. Cooking up some kale chips instead of eating on the go, crunchy, salty. We all like crunchy, salty from time to time. Instead of getting those bags of chips in the supermarket that are filled with really unhealthy types of oils and fats, make your own at home. Same thing with kind of French fries. Take the time when you're watching that football game, prepare some healthy yet fun foods. Bake your own sweet potato fries, you know, not using the oil. So one of the things you can do, anybody can do, to make their kitchen healthier is to completely clear out vegetable oils from your cupboards and replace vegetable oils with extra virgin olive oil, with coconut oils, with ghee, which is a form of butter, and even lard or tallow, beef tallow, that our parents and grandparents used to cook with before things like Crisco oil and these really unhealthy rancid oils were put on the market. That's contributing a lot to people's health as much as sugar. The bad kinds of oils in our cupboards and in fast foods are creating a lot of health problems for people.
When you said lard, that just brought me back to heart attack and cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because I remember, oh no, you can't, don't eat lard, don't eat butter, you know. You know, again, here we go. We're talking about it's so confusing. You try to eat the right way you know, maybe it'll work for you. This, you know, wave of nutritional advice will maybe work for someone.
Right.
And then the next wave come through, you know, may kill you. I don't know. You know, it's
that is the confusing piece. And that's kind of the hope and the promise of this more individualized science that we're going to have involved in healthcare, like knowing what your gut microbiome is. Similarly, the vast majority of us do well with saturated fats. So that's the kind that comes in animal products that we've been afraid of with butter and eggs and meat products. But there are close to 25, so maybe one out of four of us, don't do as well with saturated fats. So that's something that can be determined through some genetic testing. We have these the field of epigenetics, to add more confusion and complication.
So when you say study individually someone's individual gut bacteria, what do you do to test that?
Right. So that's a little bit further out in the realm.
Okay.
You can, there are some companies, Viome and places that do gut health testing, but it is in its early stages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get back before our time is up. Let's get back to talking about the steps. So single parent or neighbors, call your neighbor in. Let's, you know, on the weekend, let's do a potluck. Let's join together and let's do potlucks. But, you know, again, all of that does take a lot of time and a lot of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, making fries is not a problem. Sweet potato fries, I'll put them in the oven, cut them up, put them in the oven. But I think for single parents, it's that time issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's very challenging.
Yeah. It is challenging. So, you know, if you're committed to your health, when we're committed to something, we do put time into it, right? And so it can be helpful to set aside that one time a week, whether it's every Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon. Okay, this is the couple of hours that I'm going to dedicate to this, to making that big pot of old-fashioned stew, and then you put it into containers so that you have it in the middle of the week when you're quick and on the run. You just pull it out, or you pull it out of the freezer the night before, or you pull out the containers, and it takes just a few minutes to throw together a good, healthy meal. You know, and there are times, and we're lucky here in Boulder, we have several restaurants that use the good, healthy oils, and you can pick up foods, quicker foods to go from them rather than running through McDonald's. A lot of the stores, the healthier stores, they'll have those whole baked chickens that you can just pick up for those quick nights to eat. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the carcass, you've eaten all the chicken off of it, you throw that in your slow cooker and make a soup or something. Mm-hmm. So really kind of getting back to some of the things we used to do back in the day. Our grandparents did that, and my mother did that growing up. That would be the job. And so, but that is hard because my dad would be working, right? And mom would be at home. Mm-hmm. It was a full-time job because mm-hmm. it did take time. And then my parents were divorced. And so the responsibility got put on my sister and I. And what did we start to do? We started to cook from cans and boxes and eating really unhealthy food. Mm-hmm. What was convenient, right. and what these, you know, we were just young kids, and my mom was like, oh, we're going to just make this easy for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think even as kids, that makes sense, but
absolutely.
They're adults still doing that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, because a whole generation of people right. never learned how to cook.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some people don't want to learn
right.
how to cook.
Yeah.
But it's about making great choices, healthy choices mm-hmm. for our lives, and we can do research. I mean, yeah. just like we get on Google to look and see what's the cheapest price on electronic devices or whatever, we could do the same thing and research what's the up and coming new research on our health or our gut or yeah. depression or what would prevent or eliminate mm-hmm. any health issues. So we have to remember that it is our health that we need to be more conscious about and making better choices. I talked on the show before about having that one day a month. For me, it's on Sundays to make my food for the entire week. Mm-hmm. I'm really blessed to have a full kitchen at my job. So I cook. I make soup at work. Mm-hmm. And things like that. I take my food to cook at work.
Mm-hmm.
I know most people may not have that opportunity to do that, but mm-hmm. it is important to plan it out. And then guess what? When you do it, your kids eventually would do the same.
Mm-hmm.
They'll remember how. And like what, you know, like you said, get your kids involved, help you to make certain meals. And mm-hmm. what I used to do was have my kids, each kid would pick a menu. You know, pick a recipe.
Yeah.
And that's what we would, they can get online and look for the recipe, or I have tons of cookbooks and they would choose it. But the key thing was they had to eat it because they chose it. I mean, we all had to eat it, but they knew that, you know. So just making those choices for the new year. And I just felt like having this show to start off 2019 was very important because of the increase of mental health issues, mm-hmm. depression, mm-hmm. obesity hasn't mm-hmm. Decreased, I don't think, heart disease. There are so many negative things in our society right now that's going on in our world. And so at least if we can just take care of ourselves, mm-hmm. let's start today. Today is any day of the week, you know, the best day is today.
Absolutely. Just get started now, little baby steps at a time. One of the biggest things that any of us can do is to change what we're drinking. Stop drinking the really sugary drinks, the diet sodas, and even things like the big glass of orange juice really actually spikes our blood sugar. Eating whole food, eat the orange instead and drink water. Drink plain old water, which is one of the best things we can do for our brain health and our energy. Where a lot of us are dehydrated, just running from task to task.
Well, Mary Kay, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Where's the location of your mm-hmm. Organization?
So my office is located within Boulder Healing Hub, which is on 38th Street, just off of Arapahoe here in Boulder. 1650 38th Street.
Well, thank you, Mary Kay, again, and Happy New Year. Mary Kay Irving at the Boulder Center for Health and Nutrition in Boulder. You are listening to KGNU Metro, Shakita Yarbrough. I am your host for every first Monday at 3 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. Happy New Year. And please, please, please think about, be conscious of what you put in your body, what you have available in your household for your kids to eat. And also when you go to work, think about making one new choice, taking one step and making a better choice for your health. Thank you and Happy New Year. Talk to you next month.